Welcome to Gen Z on Leadership. I'm Gabriel Gary, the host, and today I'm here with Mayor of Valparaiso, Indiana, Mr. John Costas. Costas has his bachelor's degree from St. Joseph's College and his Juris Doctor from Valparaiso University. Costas has previously served as a city councilman and has served on the school board. Costas has over 20 years of leadership experience and has held his current position as mayor since January 2024. Thank you for being here today.
Gabe, it's great to be with you. Look forward to our conversation.
Thank you. So I just wanted to ask initially, what made you interested in holding office as mayor?
Well, being involved in politics for me has been a lifelong thing, and I really got involved. My father was a state senator for a couple terms, and so he was a businessman, but was involved as a candidate. And so I just got involved because of him. But I also made a lot of friends early on by working on other people's campaigns. And so you get to meet a lot of interesting people. You get to be part of campaigns, which are exciting. You learn a lot along the way. And so so that really became a lifelong thing for me as I became a young adult. And it just sort of, mushroomed into eventually becoming a candidate and starting at the city council and then moving up to mayor and then coming back as mayor. So it's been a wonderful experience. But it's I encourage young people of interest in politics to just get involved in a campaign. Pick a candidate you really like and admire, and it's really a fun thing to do. And you learn a lot along the way, and then there are other opportunities that'll just open up some other doors.
And just wondering, you've been in politics, of course, your entire life. And how has your leadership style adapted since you were a city councilman to school board to now your second time as mayor? How has it adapted in the growth in population and your government members, staff members that you have in Valparaiso?
Yeah, well, I guess the first thing I'd say about leadership is that you're a lifelong learner. In fact, I think the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know, and so you have this attitude of always wanting to learn and grow. And so I've had a lot of leadership opportunities because I've been a small business owner almost my whole life. So I've always employed people, made payroll. So I've done it from a business sense. I've been involved in nonprofits. I've actually served as a pastor in a church. I've been on the Higher Education Commission. So I bring a lot of different types of leadership experience, and I think that's helped me be a better mayor because I understand the community from a lot of different standpoints, from education, from business, from nonprofit, from the faith community, and then from government. Those are the kind of five sectors. So I think having a wide range of interests and leadership opportunities really helps you to understand, all the different sectors of a local economy and to be able to work with leaders in each sector. But as a leader, I think there's really three main things that leaders need to do and do well. And the first and most important is to learn how to create a positive work culture, because as the leader of an organization, you establish the culture, the values and the norms, the way we treat each other, how we interact, and whether you have a culture that is empowering and positive and transparent and encourages people to take risks, but calculated risks. So you want that kind of culture that attracts others who want to grow and learn and become their best. And then the second is you need to have a vision, and strategy. Those two kind of go together. So as mayor, I always had, like, I wrote something called the Costas Plan when I ran for mayor, because people need to know what you stand for and what you hope to do. And when I ran again this time, I ran under the Costas Plan 2.0. So you need to establish sort of a vision and the strategies to get there. And then the third thing is the people. You need to hire really good people and help them grow and mature and become leaders of their own. So you want a company or an organization full of leaders. You don't want to, you don't want to think one person has all the answers. They don't. So I believe in sort of a shared leadership model, more so than a centralized leadership model.
I definitely appreciate that work culture thing. I try and say good morning to everyone, and it's amazing when a senator or a city councilman or mayor says good morning to me or says hi. I definitely appreciate it. So shifting to like your mindset, I was just wondering, you ran in 1999. That was your first mayoral run. What gave you the perseverance to continue in politics after that campaign in 1999?
Yeah, so I'm going to back up a little bit. So as I had mentioned before, I had not only worked on my dad's campaigns, but I had worked on a number of other campaigns before I ever ran for office. I did speech writing for Steve Goldsmith, who was the mayor of Indianapolis when I practiced law down there. So I was just trying to help others and become part of their team. And so when I moved back to Valpo, I then ran for city council because others encouraged me to run for city council while I was practicing law, and I did that, and I served 4 years in the council, and then I felt that we had a mayor who'd been there a while, and he was a good person and got some things done, but I felt that there was more that could be done, that we weren't just moving ahead as a city. So I ran and in 1999, and it was a good campaign, and I lost to a 20-year incumbent by about 200 votes, so it was real close. But I had a great experience, and yeah, it's a little disappointing. But and then over the next few years, after that first loss, some leaders in the community would come to me and they say, you really did a good job, and I do agree it's time for change. I think the previous mayor's done some good things, but I'm going to be on your team now. And then they encouraged me to be a little bit more specific, because I was talking about change for a new era, and change is scary to a lot of people, so they want to know what change. And so that's when I wrote the Costas plan, and I said, okay, here's the things that I will try to get done if I'm elected. And I ran under that plan, and I ran against that incumbent mayor again, and won pretty handily. So that was in 2003, and started serving in 2004. And so I had really, in the Costas plan, I pretty much had what I set out to do, things like remaking the downtown because it had pretty much died, revitalizing many other areas in the city, starting transportation systems, the V line, the bus, all kinds of road work and that sort of thing. So we got to work on it, and we put a great team together. We created our leadership values for the city. And it was really just a wonderful experience because we got most all of that done, and the people really liked what happened. And so I kind of felt after 16 years I had accomplished it. Now, there were some other things I wanted to do. I was actually working on a doctorate in leadership, so I wanted to finish that, and that takes a lot of energy. And I was doing filling in some positions at the church I go to, which is a larger church. So I enjoyed doing that for a term. And then when Mayor Murphy decided not to run again, I thought, well, others encouraged me to run because they thought there was a vacuum there. And so that's when I came back, and it's been great. I've enjoyed the couple months I've been back at City Hall. We have a great team. Many of them had served with me, but a lot of new younger people on the team, and they're doing a great job. So we've got a new council. We've got a bipartisan council, which is a little unusual, but it's working out just great. I'm enjoying I'm enjoying the new council. Many of them are new members, and we're working hard to establish a culture of trust and inclusion, and just working together mutually to accomplish the goals that they'd like to see and the goals I'd like to see. And I think we're off to a great start.
I appreciate that compromise. You don't get to see that at the national level, but it's great that a council can work together to get things done, what you guys are doing, and you've done a great job of that. And I'm just wondering, so you were the mayor for 16 years, and now you're resuming as mayor, or this is your second time. And I was just wondering, have you ever thought of considering a higher level of public office at the state, like your father, or the federal level, or do you think you could get more done locally?
Well, that's a great question. I actually did run for attorney general, and lost at the convention back in about 2008. Running for statewide office is a whole different animal. The great thing about local office is you can really make a difference in this city, and in the people that you live with and work with and your whole life. And so it's a very practical job. It's also being an executive. You know, we have three branches: executive, legislative, and judiciary. So, you know, being in the legislature, you're kind of one of 50 or one of 100 in the state. And so it's a much different sort of thing. It's more political. It's more ideological. I'm really not very political or that ideological. I'm very practical. You know, I'm really a business person and an attorney. But it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience to help transform the city of Valparaiso. And to work with leaders in the community to build what I think was one of the premier communities in the Midwest. And so I'd say that's a pretty rare experience, you know. And so it's hard to say anything, you know, is something a higher office. Plus, so anyway, I really haven't had that much interest in it, and I don't anticipate that I will. Because I've just really enjoyed local politics, local governance, and particularly Valparaiso, because it's a really special place. There's a lot of awesome people, great leaders, and there's a sense of collaboration. And you know, we're kind of, if you ask me, we're the go-to community of Northwest Indiana, and we want to be leaders. We want to set a good example, and we want to be cheerleaders for all the communities around us too. Many of them are making great progress too. And many of them are copying the things that we've been able to accomplish, but that's good, you know, and we want to be a good example. So local politics, local governance is really a pretty cool thing. And I'd have to say it's tough. It's pretty tough to beat.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. So I was just wondering in the beginning, back when you were first mayor in 2004, how long did it take you to acclimate to the position? How long did it take you to get used to Mr. Mayor or Mayor Costas, the, you know, all the stuff?
Well, the best leaders are servant leaders. So you really play, you really realize that you're there to serve others. And so you try to just come from, you know, a servant's aspect rather than, you know, there, I understand there's a title here and you want to set a good example. I think what we did was really just, we focused on, first of all, establishing the values and the culture, you know. So some of our city leadership values, like one is we want to be surprisingly responsive. We want to be boldly proactive. We want to be creatively frugal. We want to be respectfully compassionate. And those are the kinds of values. So once we created those values, we built a culture around it, and that just sort of empowered people to say, okay, that's the glue that holds us together, you know, the values. And we knew our direction because we had pretty well, I pretty well was elected on the Costas plan. So it was like, well, okay, here's the strategy, or at least the vision. And it was just fun to go after it. And the citizens supported us, you know. Can you imagine opening Central Park Plaza? I'll never forget that opening day. And then the Urschel Pavilion. It's like we just kind of, yeah, you know, we had all these wins and we were making people happy and building community. And it was a little bit of magic there, you know what I'm saying? So it was such a great thing to be. So I just try to, you know, as mayor, you try to set a good example. And I talk a lot about the concept of humility. Humility does not mean weakness. It means power under restraint and used for noble purposes. So to me, that's a very powerful concept. If you read many leadership books, books like Good to Great, that's probably my favorite business leadership book. And it says the great CEOs have two qualities. One is humility. That means they don't think of themselves more highly than they should. And the second is they have a passion for the success of their organization. And so people want to work for others like that, who see themselves as part of a team. They happen to be the leader, but they're still part of a team, and they want to empower others, not centralize authority and try to make all the decisions, you know. I have a few good ideas, but together our team has a whole lot more good ideas. So you try to create that shared leadership concept that really makes people excited about being part of an organization. And I think we've had that in the city. And frankly, there's a lot of leaders in Valparaiso, Northwest Indiana, that get that, and they lead very well. And that lifts the whole, rising tide lifts all boats.
And like you mentioned, the opening of Central Park Plaza, I was just wondering, even giving like the State of the City address or any address or debates, how do you prepare and prepare your mind for that stress and nervousness? How do you deliver?
Yeah. Well, at first it is a little, it is a little challenging. Debates are always hard because you never know what's going to happen. But fortunately, there's not too many of those actually, and usually those are more structured. It's not like the presidential debates on TV where it just gets kind of wild and crazy. But I do write most all of my own stuff, my speeches and statements and stuff like that. In fact, the recent State of the City, that's a good example of because I think if you write if you write your own stuff, then you're owning it more. It becomes more personal, and so anyway, so that takes time. You just sit down. You have to organize it. And you have to say, really, what do I really need to say, and how do I say it best. And you need to sense what are the needs. The needs of the community are different now than they were 20 years ago. And so I talk, in a sense, of course, about different things in my State of the City. I talk more about, we kind of live in divisive times, because of national media, national politics, algorithms, social media, all that stuff. Pushing back against that, focusing on the things that unite us, not on the few things that divide us. Not being keyboard warriors, but sitting across the table, having face-to-face conversations. Those are the things that I think, we really need to be talking about these days. So I did a lot of that in my State of the City. We still talked about practical things, about where we're going to get, are we going to stick with groundwater, or we're going to look to Lake Michigan water. So I talked about that. I talked about trying to the housing, attainable housing, how can we make progress there? Roads and streets, all those things. A lot of what we do is very practical. We pick up your trash, we take care of your parks, we keep the city safe. Policing and fire, those are huge things that we do. Safety is really the foundation for all we do. And so one of the things that I set out to do was to have a accredited police force, and accreditation is tough to get, but we have been accredited now for I think about 16 years, and that holds us to the highest standards. And so that we're professional, we're working in collaboration with our citizens, we're highly trained, we have the best equipment, and again, we're working in partnership with community policing and that sort of thing. And once you have that, then students learn better when they feel safe. Businesses are more prosperous. Neighborhoods are better when everybody's safe, and so that's important. And then planning, engineering, road care, all that stuff. Doing it and doing it well, because those things enhance your daily lives on a daily basis. You're on the roads every day. You're at parks often. You're drinking water. You're flushing your toilet and hoping it goes away. I mean, you don't think about that, but we do. We have a plant that takes care of that, and we've got to get it there, and it's important. We don't want it to be disrupted. So we have a really great team in the city. I'm very proud of our leadership team, and I think they serve our citizens well.
So, just moving on, like you mentioned, with working with the city council and other communities in Northwest Indiana, what qualities have you noticed do good political and community leaders possess?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I would just say this. First of all, to be lifelong learners. I mean, to enjoy learning, and to real. There's a good book that I had our leadership team read. It's a business book called Think Again. And it basically just says, you need to realize there's a lot you don't know. And that's okay, but as long as you know that, because oftentimes we hang on to old ideas or paradigms that really aren't true, we don't know where we get them, but boy, we hang on to them, as opposed to just, being open to new ideas, letting others lead with new ideas. And so, so just being a good listener, and not jumping to conclusions, being collaborative, respecting others, don't try to, you never try to manipulate others. I wrote my, when I did my doctorate in leadership, I wrote my my dissertation on toxic leadership. And that's out there. People who try to manipulate other people, who try to control things, who are really more about themselves and the organization. I mean, it's an actual form of leadership that has been identified scholarly. And, unfortunately, it's out there. And so what we're trying to do is the opposite of all that. We're trying to respect others' opinions, respect others' right to make, to make decisions, and yet find common ground. As we work with other leaders, we respect the duty that they have to their organization, and we try to find ways to work together, again, to collaborate, to compromise, and so I think there's a lot of that going on around the city of Valparaiso, in the various sectors of leadership, and just trying to build a culture of trust, where when we talk, I know you're not a different person, when you hang up the phone, you're trying to be sincere, trying to be the same person, I am when nobody's looking, than when I'm talking to you, and trying to be positive, not tearing others down or looking at their faults, but just trying to build them up and being supportive and setting a positive tone. Those are the things that leaders do. And getting back to the book, Good to Great, they're humble in the sense that they don't think, they have all the answers, and they're not trying to use people like chess pieces. They're truly humble in how they approach their work. But at the same time, they have a real passion for the success of the organization. They really want it to succeed for the benefit of their employees and for the people that they serve. And so they're strategizing, they're trying new things, they're trying to hire the best people. So, those two qualities go a long way towards success, whether it be in business, nonprofit, profit, education sector, whatever type of leadership, those qualities work well.
Mm-hmm. And just tying back to your work in campaigns, I was just wondering, what's the most important part of running a successful campaign throughout the years that you've worked with them?
So it depends on the nature of the campaign, but I think more than anything is to know why you're running. People say, well, why are you running? And, it's, if you say, well, I want to be in this position, that's not a good answer. Or, you have to say, well, I think there's a need here. Okay. Leadership goes where it's needed. That's the reason I ran for mayor again, is because I felt there with Mayor Murphy stepping down, there was a need, and I could fill that need. And so leadership goes where it's needed. So you need to know why you're running, and you need to be running for the right reasons, and be able to articulate that, and to also be able to articulate what you would do if you were elected. Okay, otherwise we say you're there for the shrimp. You're just there for so people can look at you and you can think more highly of yourself, which is really kind of goofy. But so you need to feel that there's a need, and that you're equipped to fill that need. And if so, and then of course, what would you do if elected, and how would you lead? You need to be able to explain all that to those who run. And then you need to be able to communicate that, whether in you can do it on social media, you can do it on all kinds of ways, but to have that message to know what you stand for, and then to communicate it effectively are good. And then along the way, you listen. So I always say that in many ways, I feel I've been shaped professionally by the people I serve, because I think you are, if you do it right. You know, we really sort of are a product of, you know, our environment to some degree, but particularly in the role as mayor, I just really feel that I'm really shaped by the people that I serve. And I say that in a very good way, you know, because there's so many awesome people that have influenced my life and have inspired me. And, you know, I mean, there's just countless people from, you know, people like former Governor Mitch Daniels, and Steve Goldsmith, former mayor of Indianapolis, that I had the opportunity to work pretty closely with. You know, they inspire me, local people. I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, I could go on and on about, you know, law professors and people that I've served in government with and that I've worked closely with, people who have led organizations in the city. I mean, there are so many good leaders. And so in that sense, we inspire one another, and we really help each other to grow as leaders. And so that's, you know, that's how you learned.
Mm-hmm. And finally, I just want to ask, what advice would you give to young people who are considering pursuing public life, specifically in politics, and more vaguely, how can they be a good leader in anything they do?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, first of all, look for leadership opportunities, you know, and you start small. You know, one time I was talking to, you know, a 20-year-old person, I asked them what they want to do. Well, I want to be a U.S. senator. And I said, well, you know, you don't start there, you know. you just have to, wherever, you know, you go where the river takes you. So wherever there's a leadership opportunity in front of you, it could be with a service club, it could be with a nonprofit, you know, just step into that, because you're going to learn, you're going to make relationships, and you're going to, you know, you're going to come out, you know, with more opportunities. So just find those leadership opportunities when you can and serve humbly. And then if you do have an interest, I mean, there's many ways to lead. You know, you could lead, again, in business or nonprofit, in government and education. But if you are involved in politics, you know, find a local candidate that you know and you trust and you like, and just be involved in their campaign. You know, you can walk neighborhoods with them. You could help them at events. There's all kinds of things. So that's a fun thing to do. So I would just, you know, look for opportunities to help others. And then eventually, you know, as you do that, you'll have opportunities yourself if you want to become a candidate. Some people are very effective never becoming candidates and just supporting others. And they kind of like that. They stay out of the fray, but they're very valuable in giving others advice and encouraging them and helping them raise money for campaigns. So lots of opportunities to serve, but I really would encourage young people to get engaged. It's fun. It's you meet a lot of interesting people, you get challenged, you develop your own skills. In terms of speaking and writing, and it just opens a ton of doors, and so it is a neat environment to be involved in, and we just need more young people engaged. You know, it goes quickly, you know, and pretty soon, you know, you were the young person, and then you serve, and then all of a sudden you're thinking we need more young people serving, and so you're always trying to encourage them, and so I think this that's why I encourage you, Gabe, with this podcast and just encouraging others to say, hey, there's some great opportunities here. It'll help you grow as a person. It'll give you, an additional purpose in life, which and you'll find your place in, you know, at the table. You know, it's like in Alexander Hamilton, you want to be in the room where it happens. Well, you don't walk into the room, you know, first day. You start developing relationships and helping others, and pretty soon you look around and you're sitting at the table with everybody else, because you've made that investment and you're part of the team now.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor Costas of Valparaiso, Indiana. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you want to learn more and support the podcast, please check out our website, which is genzonleadership.com. Also, follow us on Instagram at genzonleadership. Also, please leave a review on whatever streaming service you are using, as it helps increase our listenership. If you are interested in today's episode and want to learn more about Mayor Costas and the city of Valparaiso, you can check out ci.valparaiso.in.us. As always, stay tuned for all new episodes as we try to post at least one a month.